She stumbled into the synagogue that day, as she did on every other Sabbath, slowly making her way in, expecting not to be noticed, just wanting to blend in. It was her obligation. It was her time for worship. So she made her way into the crowd slowly. She didn't see much. Her eyes were focused downward, always looking at feet and other things on the ground. She couldn't stand straight and look people in the eye. Her eyes were always cast downward because of her condition. Still, she made her way to the synagogue every Sabbath. This had been the way of it for 18 years, 18 long years. Everything was now at waist height or below. She made do. She survived. People spoke to her politely and spoke about her in hushed tones. Poor thing. I just hate that she has this condition. While thinking in their most secret thoughts, thank God that's not me. Still, she persisted. She would not be beaten down. She was a survivor, so she kept going. That day at the synagogue, a day that seemed like any other Sabbath, she made her way into the place of the women, and little did she know, this was a day that would change her life. She entered doubled over with a demon that we might now call osteoporosis, and she left standing upright. An interesting thing about this story is that the woman never asked to be healed. The demon never cried out to Jesus, as demons so often do. The woman in this story was just there, in need of healing. And Jesus saw her and perceived her need and restored her. He didn't say anything like, "Your faith has made you whole." He laid his hands on her and he healed her. He brought her back to her full stature. Perhaps we can surmise that she had deep faith. She was at the synagogue. She had come to worship, even in her diminished capacity. This was not a random act, though. Not like the woman who touched Jesus' garment in the crowd. Jesus saw her, and he made his way to her. For some reason, this particular woman got his attention, and he called her over to him. That certainly must have come as a surprise to her. Why would anyone call me? What does this rabbi want? Have I somehow done something wrong? Still, she went to him. How could she not? To ignore or deny the request of this man would have singled her out even more. He then laid his hands on her, and we don't know what he said or if words were used at all. But we know that when Jesus laid his hands on her, she immediately stood up straight and began praising God. Something amazing had happened in the life of this woman, and she knew it was of God. The reaction of the leader of the synagogue was quite different. He didn't begin to praise God. He didn't see God working in the restoration of this woman. What he focused on was the fact that Jesus had cured on the Sabbath. What one chooses to focus on can make all the difference in the world. The leader of the synagogue was so stuck in his box of laws and rules and regulations that the fact that Jesus, God, had done a miraculously wonderful thing was of little interest to him. Jesus had done so on the Sabbath, and that was against the rules, and everyone knew it. So the fact that this woman had been tormented for 18 years, was now fully restored, was of little interest to him. I mean, It was all well and good for her, but the healing on the Sabbath is contradictory. It goes against the policy and procedure manual. It's not within our standard operating procedures. Therefore, it should not be done. Sorry, ma'am. Only probably wouldn't have bothered with the sorry ma'am part because she was entirely irrelevant. We aren't surprised that Jesus didn't take kindly to the rebuke of the leader of the synagogue. He really laid into him, and apparently unnamed others who were right there beside him, urging him on. Jesus said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, should she not be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" In looking at the scene from a distance and not being a part of the people gathered that day, we can clearly say, "Of course, you blind fools! Why didn't you just keep your mouths shut? You are obviously setting yourselves up to be brought down with one fell swoop." And we hear that the opponents of Jesus were put to shame, which is the worst thing that could happen in an honor-shame society, and that the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. But it's not that clear-cut. This is not a situation never to be repeated. In fact, it has been repeated time and again and is still repeated today. Moving outside of our comfort zones, leaving the policy and procedure manual, allowing the standard operating procedures to be broadened is still an issue. We get bogged down in the way that we do things. We ignore what it is that we are doing. We have wonderful liturgy in the Episcopal Church. We have beautiful altar hangings and windows and worship space. We have a standard for how we do things, and it is tried and true and in no way wrong. But if we become too focused on the details of how we do it, we might overlook what it is that we are doing or why it is that we are doing it. Time and again, Jesus challenged the people of his day to get out of the box, to understand the broader picture of what God was doing and who God was calling them to be. That challenge still holds today. How quick we are to focus on the details of what we are doing, and in doing so, ignore the bigger picture of why it is we do what we do. We come together as people of God to worship God and to be fed by God with his own body and blood, so that we can then go into the world and share that with those in need of this good news, those who need to be healed. Where do you find yourself in this story? Are you the woman coming in doubled over in need of healing? Are you the leader of the synagogue still focusing on the stains in the carpet or the poor lighting in Tyler Hall? Are you Jesus trying to help us all broaden our understanding? We're all here, each person in this story. And perhaps on some days we're one character, and on other days, we're another. We're all necessary. We're all welcome. We're all challenged. Most importantly, we're all invited to the table where we all are one. Amen.